I'd like to start with a scripture we read last week in the book of Matthew, 6th chapter, in the 5th and 6th verse. It said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I was thinking about how been encouraged with prayer, and like to be an encouragement to you also. But here the Lord's mentioning entering into thy closet, shutting the door, praying in secret. My thought this morning is just not about prayer by itself, but I do want to mention this, that it's so important to shut the door. The cares of this life and the responsibilities of life, we need to be able to shut those off. You know, sometimes it's a struggle when it's time to pray and you got 100 things that need to be done and your mind's running. But to me, prayer is when our heart's involved. When we're seeking God, looking to Him, and sometimes when we pray and we got other things on our mind while we're praying, that's useless. But if we enter into the closet and close the door, and we have a heart and mind to seek God and to really look and pray to the Lord, those prayers are valuable. They're important for us. And we need them. And we live in a day and time when we really need to be praying. I feel like we live in an evil day, evil time, and our prayer life is very vital for us, very important. I want to get a verse of scripture in Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus 17. This is when the Amalekites came against the children of Israel. Exodus 17, verse 8, it said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. I want us to think about this as prayer this morning. Excuse me. I don't I don't understand all the part about Moses' hands being lifted up and then prevailing. I know there's spiritual forces, there's spiritual powers, and God works in conjunction with people. But I want us to notice how Joshua and Hur stepped in to hold up his hands. When his hands went down, the enemy won. When his hands were upheld, Joshua prevailed. But I want us to think in this in connection with prayer. You know, it's very vital for us to be able to intercede in people's behalf in prayer. This word intercede, there's several scriptures that talk about it. One is in 1 Timothy, the second chapter and the first verse. Do your hands ever get tired? I'm sure sometimes they do. The scripture, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And the first verse. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he talks about kings and all that are in authority. God wants us to pray for them. But I notice this word intercession, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. All these things have to do to me with prayer. Intercession, I looked this word up. It means to impinge by accident or violence or by importunity, cause to entreat, to fasten, to drive in, to strike or dash with a sharp collision, encroach. Interceding is intervening. It's crashing in. It's maybe we're not there in a physical sense, but we need to realize the spiritual, it's part of our spiritual warfare. When we intervene in prayer, we're crashing into circumstances. We're just like Ben and Hur were there. They were intervening. They were intercessing for Moses. They were there to help the circumstances. And that's what intercession is. Now there's Isaiah 53:12. We have that word again. Isaiah 53:12, it says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I feel like the Lord wants us to be able to do that. He wants us to intercede for the transgressors, those that are not saved. That's what Jesus' ministry was. He prayed. He prayed for people. And God wants us to do the same. To be able to make intercession for the transgressors, for those that are not saved. We pray for the Lord to open their eyes. We pray for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. We pray for God to move in their hearts and their lives. There's all different ways that we can pray. But it's intervention. It's intervening. I believe that we can pray conviction. I believe if we pray, the more we pray, I believe the greater conviction people can have in their hearts and their lives. When people get under a burden and start praying and seeking, things can happen. Conviction mounts up and God works. But I want to encourage us with prayer today. I think about our unsaved children and saved children. Both of them, saved and unsaved. They need prayer. They need intercession. They need intervention. Someone to intervene in their hearts and their lives. Not maybe just physically, but in through prayer, the avenue of prayer. And that's what I've been inspired with. We don't always have to be there. We don't always have to, be the force right there telling them what to do. Of course, we shouldn't do that once they grow up. But we have the avenue of prayer that will affect things, that will bear about on their circumstances, that will allow God to work in a greater way in their lives. Now, we don't see the spiritual forces when Amalek and they were fighting Israel. We don't see the spiritual realm, but there is a spiritual realm. And when Moses' hands were uplifted, they were conquering. They had power. But when his hands went down, and we can do that, I believe, in prayer. We can hold our children up before God of heaven in prayer. Don't give up on praying for unsaved children. Don't give up praying for our children. The Lord doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to continue to pray and to hold them up. And especially in the evil day and time that we're living in, we need prayer. And our children and those around about us, we need prayer, someone to intercede in behalf. And I know the Lord's Scripture talks about Jesus in Hebrews the 7th and the 25th verse, Hebrews 7:25. It talks about the Lord interceding for us. Hebrews 7 and 25. It says here, wherefore he is able, he talks about his priesthood. Verse 24 said, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord is there to intercede for us. He's there to take our case before our Heavenly Father. He's there as a representative. You know, if I told people I wanted to talk to the president, it wouldn't mean a hill of beans. I wouldn't get an ear with him. But if you know somebody that's able to go into their presence, and that's what Christ is for us. He's there at the right hand of the Father. He's able to approach the throne of grace in our behalf. He's interceding for us when we pray. And we want to, as we are priests, we are kings and priests unto God. So we are to be doing the same thing in behalf of others, to intercede for them, to make intercession for them. I believe it's very valuable today. And the Lord works through prayer. Also, I wanted to mention about, Samson, his great strength was in the length of his hair. When his hair was long, he had power with God. The Spirit came upon him. When his hair was short, I want to say our prayer life is our strength this morning. When we have a good prayer life, a good connection, when we're taking time to seek God and to call upon Him, there's going to be strength there. There's going to be force and power there in our lives. If you look back, if we were able to graph our spiritual journey, our lives, the times that we were strong, the times that God was blessing and helping us, I believe there'd be a corresponding graph with our prayer life. You know, you see good places, and then you see places that are not so good, and good places not so good. I believe the good places, our prayer life would correspond with that. There is strength in prayer. When we seek God as we should, and we call, and I had a poem, I was going to bring it, but it slipped my mind this morning. But it talked about, I got up this morning, I had so many things to do that I didn't take time to pray. And he goes through his day, he said the day was dark and dreary, and I asked God, why was it? And he said, you didn't ask. You didn't take time to seek. And he was frustrated through the day, and the day was trouble and difficulty, and he didn't seem like he had his connection. And then the next morning, he said, I had so many things to do today that I had to take time to pray. Lord, help us today to take time to pray. That is where our strength is. That's where our help is. When we call, when we are able to enter into our closet, pray conviction down, pray for answers. And I want to encourage us also that to not give up when we pray in our seeking God. There's an account in Daniel where Daniel began fasting and praying. And I don't believe it was a total fast because it talked about he left off meat and sweets. I think he ate something along the way, but he wasn't sumptuously eating. He was depriving himself because he was entreating the mind of the Lord. He was entreating God. And it was 3 weeks before the answer came. It was 3 weeks before God answered prayer to him. But he said, he told him, the angel told him, he said, from the first day you set your face to seek me, I saw you. You know, sometimes it can look like things are going contrary to the way we're praying. I know sometimes you can be praying for unsaved loved ones and it looks like it gets worse. And I think sometimes that's because they're fighting off conviction. When people fight off conviction and they go against conviction, they get worse. There's things happen. They're fighting against. But God wants us to continue to pray and to believe in Him and to seek Him. And keep praying in faith. Jesus mentioned one place, he said, when you pray, when you stand praying, believe. We want to come to the throne of God with a faith and a confidence. We're not telling God exactly what to do unless He gives inspiration that way. But we want an answer. We want to persevere and get the mind of the Lord. You know, the Sunday school this morning lesson was on the keys of the kingdom. God has made Himself available to us. He's made Himself available to hear our prayers. He's made Himself available to hear and answer prayer and to help us, to give us. And I thought during the Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, sometimes there's frustrating situations that just, it needs the right key. You know, not every key fits the same lock. We try to do that sometimes in our spiritual life. We got a victory over here. We used a certain key. We try that in this other place and it doesn't fit. But if we go to God in prayer, God will give us a key of inspiration, a key of knowledge, a key of scripture, of knowing what to do in our trials and our battles that will work. That when we apply it, we stick it in the lock and we begin to turn it, things will happen and things will move. And I want to encourage us today to pray until God answers prayer, to hold on. It's easy to get discouraged. And I thought about that verse. It talked about the unjust judge and the woman that came before him and came back and come back. And it talks about importuning. But at the very end of that, he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if we fail to pray, if we fail to pray as we should, then we get weak. And our strength this morning, our victory this morning, is going to be through the avenue. It's not what people see, but it's going to be in our closet, in communion with God. And the Lord opens up to us, opens up to our understanding what He wants us to do in particular situations. And Daniel prayed and the answer came. And we can pray until the answer comes. And it's easy for us sometimes just to forget and to give up. But I really feel like we need to persevere in prayer for our families, for our children, for those that are round about us. We need to intercede. We need to lay hold. We need to get something from heaven to be able to be a help, to be a blessing, to be a source of strength. We need something from God to help us in all of our choices and decisions and those spiritual things that are going on around about us. We need the Lord. And the good thing this morning is that He's invited us and He's opened things up to us. Oh, I read that scripture the other day. Matthew would say, it says, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. What's that other part? Knock, it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. God, I know God doesn't work on our time frame, but He does answer prayer. And He will answer prayer for us. And our prayers of intercession will have an effect. And Lord, help us not to be discouraged with praying this morning, but help us to be inspired and encouraged to seek God in prayer. I was thinking also about the scripture. I don't know. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I read it about Hezekiah. You remember he was sick, nigh unto death. With the boils, I think he had. And the prophet came to him, Isaiah came to him. And he said, set your house in order. You're gonna die and not live. Hezekiah, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and he prayed. He called on the name of the Lord. And it said before Isaiah got out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, I have heard Hezekiah's prayer. Go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. You know, we can change the mind of the Lord. Prayer has an effect on God. Prayer can be a blessing and a help to circumstances that look like they're just bleak through prayer. He told him, he said, before Isaiah got home, he said, go back. I've heard his prayer. He said, I saw his tears. And I'm going to give him 15 more years. The Lord sees our tears this morning. He sees our burden. He sees our prayers. Lord, help us to continue on to have faith when we bring our request to God. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know how He's going to answer. I'm not trying to tell Him how to work it all out. But He can give us a witness in our heart. He can give us something to stand on. He can give us a key to help us unlock a mystery that's in front of us, a troubled place that's there in front of us, He can give us the right key to unlock those things. As I mentioned, I believe conviction can be... I believe we can pray conviction down. If our children are not saved, we can pray for them. And I believe God will work and He'll knock. He'll deal with them in answer to our intercession. Prayer does change things. Prayer, people need prayer today. Don't you... Doesn't it feel good when someone says, I'm praying for you today? I get a little text from my mother-in-law Sunday morning. She says, I'm praying for you today. I text her right back, please don't stop. Thank you. Much needed. It's like holding up Moses' hands. You know, even though we're not there holding up their hand literally, we're holding him up in prayer. And it has the same effect. They begin to win the battle. They begin to find strength there because we're holding them up in prayer, interceding before God in their behalf. Let's be encouraged today to pray. That's a wonderful blessing that we have. It's not just a routine, a form that we go through. Oh, I got that out of the way. I can check that off my list now. I'm done praying. I can go on. No, we want to talk to the God of heaven. I thought about also, you remember the disciples when they were on the road to Emmaus and the Lord was walking there beside them and their eyes were withholding. They didn't know it was the Lord until He went in there and He broke bread. But what did He say? What did they say afterwards? They said, did not our hearts burn within us when we talked to Him? You know, when the Lord begins to speak to us, it causes the heart to burn. It causes Elijah, he saw the wind and the fire and the quake and those things. But then a still small voice. And he wrapped his mantle and he went to the entrance of the cave to speak to the Lord. Oh, there's a burning when the Lord begins to visit us. And He begins to commune with us. I've had so many times, and it's not just us praying in our words. You know, I believe in our prayers sometimes we just need to pour out our hearts to God and then get quiet in prayer while we're on our knees. Speak to me. Talk to me. I want to hear your words. I need your encouragement. I need your strength. And the Lord will begin to burn in our hearts. He'll begin to send word. He'll begin to speak to us and deal with us and talk to us. But so many times it comes when we pray, when we seek Him, and when we call upon Him. I'm thankful today that we can serve somebody that's interested in it's not just a ritual. It's our connection with God. It's our communication line. And the Lord answers prayer and He'll answer our prayer. Let's be encouraged today to intercede. We have a responsibility to intercede, make intercession for transgressors, for those that are not saved, for the family of God. We want to pray for one another and hold each other up in prayer. And God hears those prayers. And he values and He blesses and it frees Him and it enables Him to work in the lives of people. And I thank God for that today.